Good afternoon, and thank you for that introduction. It's great to be here. For those of you who may not know us, MindMax is a software provider. We specialize in mind scheduling and optimization. We've been in business over 20 years, and we've got applications in use all over the globe. What I'm going to talk to you about today are some observations from our recent interactions with industry. These topics are all about strategic mind scheduling. Well, the background of the approach that I'll talk about does use our software's methodology. I've been deliberate in making this presentation more general, such that the techniques applied can be used using other MILP or optimization methods. I want to begin by talking about a little bit of context. Where is standard practice for strategic mind scheduling today? No doubt the range of what the answer to that question is depends on who you're talking to. And while each situation is unique, most planners are considering these elements in their strategic planning process. So for this context, what I will talk about today will build upon this foundation. And that foundation involves scheduling, considering the time value of money, and the importance of scheduling in the context of a discount rate. The derivation of the mining sequence, considering the access to reserves over time. The management of blending and product spec at the same time the mining sequence is derived, honoring multiple parallel constraints that are aligned with production capacities, and solving schedules considering future implication. And what I mean by that is solving multiple periods at the same time. These four scheduling aspects that I'm going to talk about today seem to be coming up often, and I want to elaborate on how we can model these at the same time we're doing our strategic mind schedule. These situations are how to incorporate the option for backfilling exhausted pits with waste material from other pits, how to consider the constraints not only on destinations but also on the routes that are used to access those destinations, how to include a range of criteria for scheduling waste for beyond the pit requirements, and how to assess capital options in the framework of a mining schedule. And I bring these four topics up not only because they're coming up often in industry lately, but because each of these particular situations presents a unique opportunity to influence the mining schedule. And so the question is, and the content of my discussion is how do we accomplish this? Let's start with the pit backfill example. So in this case, I am referring to a multi-pit, a regional or a multi-phase situation, which has been designed in such a way as for the schedule to determine if mine waste material from some pit phase can be placed into the void of an exhausted pit phase. All right. This assumes that the entire design of a pit phase is exhausted prior to it becoming available for backfill. This is a sequencing-dependent interaction. In other words, we don't know when a pit will be exhausted, therefore we don't know when a backfill will be made available until we schedule. So there is a direct relationship that needs to be determined during scheduling. The haulage differential between the different dumping locations for either a pit backfill or a surface dump is likely going to be one of the largest incentives. And that mostly relates to local backfill options having a lower truck hour burden than an external surface waste dump when we reach the end of these reserve lives. Reducing truck hour burden in your mine plan obviously has significant project value impact, So that particular benefit needs to be included when we're considering our mining sequence. At the strategic level, we're generally dealing with larger periods of time, and we're going to be solving for the transition points for when a pit becomes a backfill possibility. And so we need to solve for those transition points with practicality in mind. When we're dealing with discretized periods, 2018, 2019, 2020, we can determine when a pit is mined out and when that pit becomes available for backfill, but we don't know when in those periods. All we know is that it is in within one of those periods. And so what we need to avoid is the situation where we have an entire pit being mined and an entire backfills or entire year's worth of backfill being mined within the same period. That becomes a completely infeasible situation, but it is likely given discretization of periods. We can prevent this from happening by using the intermediary location approach. And what that is placing a third pseudo-location in the precedent series between the pit and the backfill that it will occupy that pit's void. And in using a quantity constraint on that third pseudo-location in the middle of that precedent series, and a constraint control of a maximum quantity that's meaningful. Okay, the definition of meaningful depends on your strategy. Do you want to be conservative and you want to have more of a lag between when a pit is exhausted and when I can begin to backfill it? That's a conservative approach. Or more aggressive, meaning that as nearly as soon as I finish with my pit, I can begin backfilling. We can adjust that quantity to represent the strategy, and that allows you to give you some control of that transition and ensure practicality. As I mentioned, the haulage differential is likely to be one of the most influencing aspects for benefit of a backfill, considering an option to go either a surface dump or a backfill. To set that haulage differential up and to understand what that is, we have to decompose the route network in such a way as to inform the solver of all options on cycle time burden at the level of detail that it makes sense for the project. This decomposition generally takes the form of a common point of passage method. The placement of that common point varies, but I've found that it makes most sense to place it at the toe of a surface waste dump ramp entry point or the crest of a pit that will become a backfill location. And so we generate our cycle times, we're going to be generating them considering that that decomposition is as such. In the case of backfilling, we'll likely have local increased traffic interaction. And so we need to be mindful of what routes the material will be taken during the schedule. And that leads to the next topic. Planning for constrained haulage routes. When we generate a mining schedule, we're going to be seeking maximum value. And you'll find that schedules will pursue reduced waste haulage costs with that aim in mind. And while that is correct, we have to understand how that cost is being reduced. Automated scheduling tools will often place material on the shortest route possible, as that is the lowest cost option. However, as a result of that activity, we may find that material amounts may exceed the carry capacity on certain route segments. That's obviously problematic, and it results in a schedule which can be operationally undeliverable. Manually adjusting the haulage result and keeping your mining schedule at what it is painstaking and error-prone. Just ask anyone who's done it, and will almost always leave some value on the table, right? Because you're doing these things in isolation. One way to handle this situation within the mine schedule is to model these haulage routes as process-based decisions. Similar in the way that we consider a destination a process-based decision, we can also consider the way the material gets to that destination as a process-based decision in and of itself. And so effectively what we're going to do is compound our destination and our routes so that we have a route destination combination. A constraint can then be placed on each of your routes, or whatever process-based decision you've placed on that route, that represents the total available carry capacity that that thing can manage. This can be expressed in tons per day or some other meaningful quantity. And what we're going to do is we're going to run that constraint in parallel with your total available fleet capacity constraint on a period basis. All right, that may be expressed in total truck hours. Those two constraints operating in parallel will control the feasible solution space. And as a result, you'll find that the schedule will fill the shortest route options first, up to the constraint limit, and then it will reallocate the additional tons on less favorable routes in order to achieve your schedule. If you compare the two schedules at the end, you'll find that, of course, before you constrain, you'll have a higher NPV, but after you've constrained, you have an achievable plan. And generally speaking, for most people, that's a positive outcome. The next topic is conditional waste storage and delivery. And that's another instance of a beyond the pit decision that can influence the mining sequence. In some cases, the characteristics of waste, whatever you have in your block model, will predetermine where that waste can go. So it's more a matter of timing than it is of destination. In more detailed situations, there may be cellular detail at the waste dump level that needs to be modeled. Common instances of this would be when we have certain material types that must be encapsulated with an envelope of benign material. Therefore, we have a cellular network of our waste dump. There are also instances when certain material types of mine waste must be delivered to construct tailings storage embankments. These embankments must be in place in order for the mill to continue to operate. Right? So in each of these situations, there's an opportunity to integrate the destination piece of the solve at the same time that the mining sequence is being derived. In order to realize these benefits, we need to be as accurate as we can with our model. This problem hosts many of the same features that the backfill problem when the constrained haulage route problem had, only the detail is greater. If we're rebidding within our pit in order to reduce the problem size, we need to be mindful that our waste types need to remain segregated on benches. Whatever the segregation criteria is for our destinations, in the case of your encapsulation routine, we need to segregate that at the binning level as well. Obvious reasons. The haulage decomposition that we'll need is going to take the same form as the backfill, only it will carry segments relevant for each and all dumping locations. And the design capacity and volume for all of these destinations needs to be incorporated such that the solver knows when it's going to fill these things and therefore trigger the precedences, particularly on your tailings situations. For those tailings areas, that has significant implication for the mining schedule. Generally, certain waste types are required and they may not be readily available in the mining phase. So to keep costs down, we need to reduce the stockpiling and rehandling of those material types in order to fulfill the obligation over the life of the project. By solving for the material delivery at the same time you're solving for the mining sequence, and not just a post-processed manual spreadsheet endeavor, we can establish the link between the requirement, the source, and the delivery of this material, and in the same time reduce the amount of stockpiling because of the financial incentive. The model works like this. Right, the mill produces tailings at a variable rate. That rate is dependent on the block properties which are sent to that mill. Therefore, the timing of the tailings dam embankment requirements is a function of what is sent to the mill to begin with. So the sequence is directly related to the causation, and therefore we can control that by modeling it all together. The mining schedule will be derived knowing the production of tails and therefore the future embankment delivery requirements. The final topic that I want to talk about is CapEx optimization and how we can model that at the same time the mining sequence is derived. Before we talk CapEx, though, we need to talk about constraints, because the way that CapEx works is working off of the backbone of a production constraint. All right. In any operation, there are going to be some hard constraints. It's the nature of our business. Generally, these constraints are binding in most, if not all, periods, and they're a function of infrastructure or heavy capital. There are also going to be constraints with respect to equipment capacity, permitting, and land access. CapEx optimization is a way to determine when and if to invest capital in order to release a certain constraint up to a given magnitude on a certain time frame. It solves for if, when, and how many instances of a capital option should be exercised with the aim to increase NPV of the project. When we combine this with the remainder of the scheduling decisions that we've talked about today into a compound problem, it can more adequately inform your business strategy. To wrap it all together, an example of this would be a regional setting where we have a pit backfill, which is weighed against a surface dump expansion, and that surface dump expansion has a CapEx associated with it. Maybe it's permitting, maybe it's development, whatever it is. Since we can influence the mining schedule by solving this problem altogether, and therefore change the rate at which certain pit phases are mined, we have the opportunity to leverage this situation. We could determine whether we can expedite mining of a certain pit phase in order to open up a backfill location. As the backfill helps us avoid the capital investment associated with a surface dump expansion and reduce our haulage burden and the costs associated with additional truck hours, we have a situation here we can improve the value of a project. All of the aspects I spoke about earlier today are in play. These are location-to-location, destination-based precedences, the haulage decomposition of the route network and the truck hour modeling, the route constraints, and the capital investment which leverages a given constraint. Informing that optimization model of all of these options, solving it all for once, you can gain a more robust evaluation. At the same time, you're developing an ideal mining sequence. That's the content I had to deliver today. I'd like to field some questions. I think we've got about 3 minutes left. Thank you very much for your attention.